I begin this morning a series of sermons on the theme, The Eyes of Faith. Today's sermon is entitled, Embracing the Uncertainty of Worry, which is actually the title, one of the titles from the chapter in our study book that we've been studying that is now concluded on the Wednesday evenings. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, the sixth chapter. Listen as I read then, as Jesus is speaking here, beginning at verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, as we approach now your holy word, one thing we ask: never allow us to use our reason to distort your eternal truths. In Christ's name, amen. Well, after my first year of seminary, some 33 years ago now, in 1986, I was required, like all students are, after your first year, to do a summer internship for 3 months in a church. They want you to have a little experience before you graduate 2 years later, you see. Well, my internship took place in the Government Street Presbyterian Church in Mobile, Alabama. And it was my pleasure there to meet for the very first time, before you did here, a couple named Blanche and Dewey Parsons, who were a member of that church. You may remember they were members here, and now they have moved back to that region. But another woman I met in that church, who was to serve on my evaluation committee for my summer internship, she came with a warning from one of the chief elders. He said to me, "This woman on your committee has been very active in the church, indeed a leader in almost every ministry here, and now she has all but dropped out of sight. But she has volunteered to serve on your summer intern committee." And so, as sort of both her confession and introduction of herself to me, when I first met her, she said, "Well, you must be that seminary intern." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And then she continued rather seriously. She said, "It seems to me that religion, a religion that cannot speak to problems such as mine, are simply no good. Religion has not helped me at all in the last few years. I have become a living, breathing, walking bundle of anxiety. But I share too much for now. I look forward to being on your evaluation committee." And I thought, oh, great. I think Jesus would quickly understand what this woman was trying to say. Because Jesus was constantly, was he not, trying to bring faith and life together in some sort of coherent understanding. He was always trying to help us not put religion over here and life over here. He didn't want them in separate boxes. He wanted us to bring them together and have our faith and His Word apply to our lives. And on this occasion in Matthew, He spoke precisely to the problem which this woman had verbalized to me, the problem of overcoming worry, which our study book this Lent has called Embracing Uncertainty. When Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life," He was speaking of the kind of worry which is no stranger to any of us. They are the mundane, down-to-earth concerns which all of us have and none of us can escape. Concerns and anxieties about our health, the health of a loved one or a friend, concerns about work, concerns about retirement, concerns about how to pay the bills, concerns about children and grandchildren, what other people think of us, and inevitably, the anxiety we have at times of passing inevitably through the door of death. These were problems which the people faced as well in Jesus' day and time. And Jesus simply said to them, "Do not worry about your life." Well, that's good advice. It's very practical because science and medicine continue to provide us mounds of evidence that say worry is a great disease to us. It can deteriorate your thinking. It can have a devastating effect on the body, more than any amount of work for that matter. As a matter of fact, working can be therapeutic. It is the worrying that shortens our lives. Someone has said, "Worry is to the mind and body as rust is to a machine." And it's true. With too much worry, our minds and our bodies will come to a screeching halt. Jesus said it this way, "Do not worry about your life." Well, let me say, I know you well enough by now as a congregation, as a people, to say to you, and don't get too puffed up, but I experience you as very intelligent, very capable, and at the same time, very practical people. And I know that some of you may be thinking by listening to this command of Jesus, how utterly unrealistic and simple it seems on the surface. Do not worry about your life. After all, how can anyone not worry and not be anxious in the kind of world in which we live in which we are concerned about all sorts of matters, hostility on the international front in trade, safety at our borders, and yet how to be humane to those people who enter this country. The political rancor is really bad, isn't it? And we're anxious about all of these things, not to even mention our relationships and many other things. But you see, Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life," and yet it seems so simple, almost naive, does it not? But Jesus does not stop there. He continues further. You see, He went on to provide us a brief prescription for how to embrace uncertainty, how to deal with anxiety and worry and the ambiguities of living. And so I hope this morning we are not too sophisticated to listen for a moment at this advice, this two-part prescription that Jesus provides us with here. And the first part is simply this: Jesus' first prescription for worry and to embrace uncertainty is simply to cooperate with God. Cooperate with God. Jesus drove this point home by giving those disciples who were walking along beside of Him almost every day with an illustration. Imagine Jesus walking by a beautiful lakeside and He looks up and He says, "Look at the birds of the air." I did that in the first or second service and said that enough until finally they actually looked up there to see the birds. It was a great moment. "But look at the birds. Do you see them up there? Look. Are you not more valuable than birds?" Jesus said. "Does it not stand to reason," He went on to say in so many words, "that if God will provide for their needs, He will provide for yours?" And I suppose that on the whole, birds are well cared for in our world. God does feed the birds. He does provide for them, but not without a cooperative effort on their part. Have you noticed that? God does not bring the worm and drop it into their mouths. He does not build their nest. He does not pick them up in a cold climate and move them and then drop them into a warmer state like Florida. No, they migrate. They use their wings and they use their beaks. They use the wind to fly to warmer climates. God has put resources at their disposal, and they must tap into that which is provided for them. In other words, they must cooperate with God if their needs are to be met. The birds of the air do not sit and worry. Have you noticed that? They take action, which is something in the midst of our own lives we do not always do. We do not always tap the resources that are available and all around us. Let me make a distinction that has been helpful to me. I believe there is a big difference between worrying about a problem and thinking about a problem or something. Worry is destructive, but thinking can be helpful and creative. Just this morning before the 8:15 service, I was thinking about the service and gathered with our elders before we come in and serve communion, and we were about to have prayer, and I was checking to see if all the officers were there to serve communion, and one of the elders said to me, "Don't worry, they're all there." And I said, "I'm not worrying, I'm thinking." Thinking can be very helpful. It can be creative when confronted with a challenge. As one commentator put it, worrying is stewing without doing. When you discover, however, that you are not just thinking about something, but worrying about it, ask the question, what are the resources that God may have placed right here at my disposal to help me manage this challenge and this opportunity? Perhaps this morning you will use the friendship sheet on some Sunday even and place a prayer request for the prayer chain. Or maybe you think the pastor's too busy. If we're too busy, we have Stephen ministers, and we can help you partner with a Stephen minister. And when I first arrived here in 2005, one of my first sermons I gave, really about the sixth or seventh sermon, I remember that, how oddly, I put on the sign, "Who will you call at 2 a.m? And it was a sermon about caring. And I answered the sermon at that time, the question, "At 2 a.m, I said to the associate pastors that were here, you call Philip or RJ. At 2 a.m, you call Pastor Paul." But we also have Stephen ministers who are well trained in hearing and caring. So the first very practical suggestion that Jesus has given us to overcome worry is do not leave everything just to God. Rather, choose to cooperate and use the resources that God has provided for you. Now, Jesus gave one other suggestion in this two-part prescription. I wish we had all day. There is so much in this sermon, in this passage from Matthew. Can we just order Uber Eats and have it delivered and we'll stay for another hour? But I have only 17 minutes and only a few to go now. His one other suggestion in this two-part prescription is that not only are we to cooperate with God, but we are to have faith in God. Have faith. Now, I know that very much sounds like something a preacher would say from a pulpit. We have heard it so many times. Just have faith. Just have a little more faith and it'll work out. Just have faith. And yet that's the way Jesus put it. And so that's the way I'm putting it to you this morning. Have faith in God. Imagine again Jesus walking, this time in a beautiful field, and he points and he says, "Look at the flowers in the field. Look at the lilies. They neither toil, and yet Solomon in all his glory is not clothed like one of them. Jesus, you notice, changed his illustration from birds to lilies. You know the difference between birds and lilies? Birds at least can cooperate and help themselves. Lilies can do nothing. They are planted in one spot by a seed that has blown in the wind, and they literally can do nothing. They are totally dependent upon God. And we see here how this Jesus of Nazareth was such a realist. Because while he knew there are some things that we must do to be responsible for our own situation, there are resources we can choose to use or not. But he also knew there are other situations in which we can literally, seemingly, do nothing because we are totally dependent upon God. And so we can only have faith and embrace the uncertain. Perhaps our confusion is that we have equated belief in God with faith in God. And could it be that this is what the Gospels have always tried to get across to us? This is what Jesus always tried to teach, the difference between belief in God and faith in God. I want to tell you just a story that I know you remember about Jesus in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a night in a terrible storm. And you remember in that story that Jesus was asleep on the boat. And the disciples were panicked. They woke Jesus up screaming, "Jesus, don't you care if we perish or not?" And in response to their question, Jesus asked them one thing: "Where is your faith?" The disciples believed in God, but they had yet to understand. And this happened again and again in the scriptures. You see, they did not understand, and often they were afraid to ask further. One more thing. It isn't in that story that Jesus did not believe for a moment that the boat could be swamped and they could be tossed into the sea. He perhaps believed that could happen. But he did not believe that they could drift outside of God's love and care ever. He knew that. Well, there you have it. Jesus' two-part prescription for embracing uncertainty and overcoming worry: cooperate with God and have faith in God. Perhaps this morning you and I expected something more profound from our Lord, but the teachings of Jesus were always simple. Take this simple bread and this simple cup and remember my death until I come. The teachings of Jesus were straightforward and simple, but the implications were profound, and they still are. Those early disciples always seemed to struggle to learn that lesson. And the question for us today as we come to this table is, have we learned the difference between belief and having faith? Thanks be to God for His gift of Christ to us. Amen.